Hello and welcome to another Mat Chat podcast with me, Mina, where I invite friends to sit on a yoga mat with me, as it were, and share thoughts on all things well-being. My intention is to leave you feeling uplifted and empowered. If you want to know more about what I do and the personal Mat Chat yoga practice I offer, then please visit my website, minablair.com. Today I've invited my friend Sarah onto the mat. A keen yogi herself, she's also a multi-faith minister, spiritual counselor, and founder of Zephorium Soul Tonic. Hi, Sarah. Lovely to see you again for another discussion.
It's really exciting to be here.
Yeah, I hope you are ready. And I thought today, I thought we should get stuck into a key question, actually. It's kind of a meaty one, but I think we're gonna enjoy this one. It's why it's so hard to trust.
Ooh, okay. That really is a good one, isn't it?
It's a big one.
Yeah, let's start to tackle it. Why is it so hard to trust? Well, looking at it from my kind of ministry perspective, we come in as babies, don't we? Exploding into life, exploding through the birth canal. There we are, full of shouts and wails and laughter and joy. And we are fully, in my opinion, connected to source energy. So we are totally connected, absolutely know why we're here, full of life, can't wait for the experience in this amazing body, can't wait to grow up. You know, you can see it with when our dogs were puppies. They were just full of explosive light and energy, which is wonderful. So we come hurtling in. And then, you know, all the faiths and traditions talk about some form of forgetting.
Right.
So at some point, which, you know, I'm sure we can elaborate on, but at some point there becomes a time when we forget who we are. And when so in Christianity, they call it the original sin, which was obviously Adam and Eve in the garden eating the apple and choosing something other than connection or being knowing that they are part of God or the universe, whatever is your language. But I like to think of it more in terms of forgetting. I think the word sin is loaded. It doesn't feel right to me, but the original forgetting. So at what point do we forget who we are? Now, in Christianity, you know, many of us in Britain were brought up with that tradition, and we know about, you know, Adam, then there's Eve, we go into the garden, they're in paradise, they eat the apple that was given to them by the serpent, which is obviously loaded with symbology, and then they're kicked out for doing something wrong. But in the rest of the world, in fact, most of the world, they don't believe that at all. So the concept of sin is completely foreign in Judaism and all of the Eastern Christianities, which is a lot of people. And then in other faiths and traditions, they have this term of falling asleep. They call it a time of dreaming, all sorts of lovely ways of describing that sense of forgetting why we're here and where we come from. So in the Quran, humans were around a long time before Adam and Eve. They lived in caves and they were simple people. And the Quran describes how God decides that man, the perfect man, who is called Adam, is the right one to take evolution further. And so he takes evolution further by giving Adam choices to accept and to bear responsibility for life. So rather than just being like an animal in a cave and just kind of living in the moment, suddenly in the Quran, God decides that humans need to step it up. So they need to have choices in terms of how they respond to life situations, which is very different to eating an apple and being kicked out of heaven. So the Quran describes being on earth as being the paradise, but they just go into a garden.
Sounds more like a mission rather than the Christian version is a bit like it's like a permanent punishment, isn't it? You go wrong the one time and that's it, you know?
You're born in sin, you're a sinner. Basically, there's no hope. You'll probably go to hell or at least purgatory where you'll be floating around in some kind of strange place. You know, it's very punishing. It's a very punishing God. And most of the other faiths and traditions do not describe that at all. They just talk about this time when we needed to evolve and learn to take responsibility for our choices and our reaction to what's happening around us, which I'm much more comfortable with that personally, but obviously how everyone feels is up to them. So for me, that's just a good way of describing that, that forgetting of who we are, that we are evolving, that we know that our choices have repercussions. So in many of the Eastern traditions, they would call that karma, which means that you get back what you put out there. So when you're just being a little kind of baby human species without any responsibility, how do you know that? How do you know that what you do creates a reaction that then comes back to you? So to me, it feels like this is what we're on earth to do, that we're here to, in a very, very safe environment, you know, we're kind of miles and miles and miles and miles and miles and miles away from anyone else or any other planets where there's probably much more highly evolved life going on. And we can't really do much damage other than implode or explode or blow up the planet or whatever. But, you know, universally, it's not really going to be affecting other people. So to me, it feels like a bit of a baby planet where we're here forgetting who we are so that we can learn once again what we want to be. I don't know whether that makes any sense.
Yeah, it does. And yet that brief, as you describe it, that's our mission, is just so difficult, isn't it? And the reason why is that I feel that we very quickly come off that path as we get stuck into life, right? So as life starts to happen to the baby that's all fresh and keen and, oh yeah, open and it's all good. And then as we start to interact with the family, with the environment, with the external world, suddenly we meet something called disappointment. We meet something called not getting what you want or things not working out quite the way you expected it to. And then suddenly you get this kind of very insidious almost sort of fear of disappointment, which is ultimately the fear of pain. And then we start to think, well, maybe we want to just hang on to a bit more control. So maybe a little less open and just sort of, yeah, everything's going to be great. And a bit more, well, I'm just going to, you know, I'll have the door kind of open, but not completely. And then as we enter life, that sort of becomes a thing. And the word trust starts to take on a very different sort of feel, doesn't it? The word trust starts to feel a bit vulnerable, a bit like gambling, a bit risky maybe. And then that's where we start to forget then, don't we? We start to,
yeah,
you know, we tend to, I think, trust others rather than ourselves as we develop.
Yeah, I think that's a really good way of putting it. And maybe we could say that that is then the birth of the ego, the birth of that part of ourselves that needs to be defended somehow. I mean, I don't think the ego is an evil thing at all. I think it's completely necessary. It stops us from walking in front of cars, you know.
Oh, absolutely. It lets us. Oh, yeah.
We need it. Yeah. But, and so, you know, we need to be living with respect with the ego. But certainly, I think as soon as we get that moment, and I, you know, just as we're talking, I can remember the moment when my ego was actually born, because I was dressed up. We'd come over to visit my granny. I was born in Hong Kong, and we'd come over to visit my granny in England. And she had a dressing up box with all sorts of wonderful things. And I dressed myself up as a bride. So I don't know how old I was, 5, maybe 6. And I put on this beautiful white dress that was all dragging on the ground, and this veil and a crown. And I just felt as if I was a princess. And I remember just feeling I could do anything, take on anything. And I was so overjoyed. I hitched up the skirt and I ran around the block. And in running around the block, I passed a group of children who were playing in a garden, who fell about laughing, roared with laughter at how I looked. And I just felt something in me dissolve.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it's funny, isn't it? Again, these childhood moments. I just, you talking there, I had a memory myself of I grew up in Norway, in Oslo, and it was quite a strict, sort of fairly formal kind of upbringing. And the deal was Saturday night was a very big deal because we didn't have TV all the time. TV was quite a new concept in the early 70s, really, in Norway, at least it was where we lived. And we were allowed on a Saturday night, if we were really good and got all ready for bed and everything in our pajamas, teeth brushed, everything, we would be allowed to stay up a little later to watch our favorite program on TV, which was something like Gunsmoke or... Do you remember that? Cannon or Columbo or something. Anyway, and I remember this one Saturday being absolutely so keen and all got already huge effort. And then something happened and my mum said, no, I'm afraid we're not doing that this evening. I forget what happened, but suddenly that was taken off the agenda. But I was standing there all ready. And I remember having an absolute bloody meltdown over it because I trusted, you know, our deal was I would get ready for bed and be a good girl and you would allow me to watch this program and stay up late.
Yeah.
And she was like, no, you're going to bed now. Do you know what? I kicked up such a fuss. I refused. And I actually got a smacking because this is what we did in the 70s as parents, you know. Yeah, I got a good old hiding and sent to bed, you know, in tears. And something in me, just like you, gave in slightly. Something just broke a little.
And isn't it interesting? It's always related to other people.
Yeah.
So, you know, as we're brought up when we're children, of course, we have to trust our parents or our carers or family because we wouldn't survive without it, of course. So we learn very quickly to make all those lovely goo-goo noises and gurgling that everyone loves and pats us on the head for so that we survive. I mean, that's the way it is. But, you know, as soon as we have that moment of this isn't what I thought it was going to be, you know, as I was running around thinking I was the most glorious thing in the universe and these kids were roaring around with laughter at me and pointing and mocking me, it's that sense of I'm no longer in spirit, I'm no longer floating around having a glorious time, but I'm here where the nitty-gritty happens, where we dig in, the dirt is there, we struggle, we thrash around, we're up against ourselves and other people. And it's that moment, I'm sure everybody listening can remember that, where you suddenly think, yeah, this isn't, I kind of signed up for it, but it's not quite as I thought it would be.
No, and that is where the word hope comes in, because hope and trust are two very different things. And thinking about the difference is that hope, when you hope for something, there's an expectation that something might go well for you. You know, things might turn out. So whatever that expectation is, it might well happen. But hope has a question mark. There is an element of doubt around hope that it might not. It might, but it might not. Now, when you think about trust is a statement. There's a full stop after trust. So that is 100% open. There is no doubt in the word trust. And I think that is why it's harder, because with hope, the door can be ajar slightly, but with trust, you're fully rolling the dice. I mean, in fact, it's not even a gamble. It's not a risk. You just trust. It just is. And I think as we forget, to your point earlier, forget our you know, where we come from and that deep connection that is so trusting, we start to creep into this area of hope. And we use this word all the time. We hope this, we hope that, and well, hopefully, you know, blah, blah. But it's a question mark. There's a doubt around it.
Well, it smacks of disappointment, doesn't it? Yeah. I hope my life will get better, but I'm expecting that it won't. Is that what you're saying?
I think hope has got a slight tinge of just of doubt, of negativity attached to it. It's got that fear. Whereas when you the word trust, if you just think about the word, it's got two T's, hard consonants at either end of it. You know, it's kind of like boom, you know, it's trust. It's a strong word. It's one syllable. It's just there. And I think this is what's so hard, because life is going to be disappointing, isn't it? And I mean, everybody knows this. It's just a matter of time. But what happens is how often you are disappointed and how deeply it then affects you, because people will have different levels, I think, of feeling comfortable with trust and really believing in it. You know, we have this expression, don't we? We talked about this, you and I, quite a lot, when we say, well, the universe has got your back. Well, what does that mean? I mean,
yeah, and very hard to feel that when you're in the middle of some crisis or some, you know, disappointing experience or shock, you know, how can you really feel that in those times? And this may be what we're really talking about as well, is faith.
Yeah.
Do you have faith? Because faith isn't something you can ever see. You never can see faith. It's something that has to be an expectation of trust. Mm. It's sort of saying, okay, I'm hurtling into this body. I'm going to explode into life here. Stuff's going to happen. And I'm going to have the trust and faith that something will be there for me no matter what.
Yeah.
And, you know, we don't really, most of us, I'm sure there are exceptions, but most of us don't really start to begin to explore trust and faith until we're in some awful, shitty situation.
Yeah.
And then we get desperate.
Yeah. And that's why, I mean, as you know, I'm a complete believer in that there's nothing that is so bad that you can't learn from it. And I think ultimately the reason why I feel that way, what I really mean when I say that, is that it brings you back when you've got your back right up against the wall and things are just really awful, as you describe there, some terrible event that you feel like you've broken. That's the moment of an opportunity to reconnect to that inner trust, because that is what it is. It's the ultimate trust is surely that connection to the universe.
Yes, it is. And I think for myself, I don't know about you, but I have been brought to my knees many times. I mean, crashing to my knees. What I realized, that's the point when I start really praying and really meaning it, you know. Okay, if there's a God out there, if there's a universe that's kind and loving, right, where are you? I need you now. I need you right now. You know, yeah. And usually at that point of utter surrender, utter desperation on my knees, something usually happens in my brain that just flicks me into a different state. And I don't know how to describe it, whether that is faith or trust, but something moves in that gives me the courage to move on. And over time, what I've realized is, you know, I used to think, right, I'd get up, get on again. But over time, what I realized is, in terms of trust, you just need to stay on your bloody knees.
Yeah. And let go.
Yeah.
You've got to relinquish control and expectation. Yeah. And you've got to relinquish hope. You've just got to, you know, just leave that out. And I was, I've just finished writing my book, and in it that I describe on our first travel to Africa. This is really funny, actually. This is where we book this trip to Uganda to do some to actually visit a charity that we'd been supporting here in England. And I just book it as if we're going to Berlin, right? So we just book flights to Entebbe. No, but, you know, I don't think about where we're going and maybe what might be going on there. I just, you know, book a flight, pack our bags, and off we go. And of course, what I hadn't realized was that we landed at Entebbe Airport in the middle of what looked like a military coup, basically.
We
came out of baggage claim completely naive into soldiers with machine guns and army trucks up, as far as the eye could see, up that road leading out of Entebbe Airport towards Kampala. And I was like, what on earth is going on? Our eyes.
Oh, my goodness.
And we had a 3.5-hour drive to the to Jinja, which is the second largest city, which is where we were going. And I was just like, we have landed on a different planet here. And so I asked the driver who fortunately was there and met us, I said, what is going on? And he said, oh, no, this is it's the presidential elections in a couple of days. It's always like this here during that.
Oh, time. My goodness.
And
yeah.
I just, yeah. You know, and so you're sitting in the middle of the night. By this time, it was like near midnight and we were going to drive through the night to get to Jinja. And there was a moment there looking at all these soldiers, and you're in Central Africa and you've got nothing. Yes. You're not in control. I had this moment sitting in the back seat going, wow, you know what? It's the expression, we're in the lap of the gods. It was a bit like that. And
yeah.
I did in that moment. I just let go. I wasn't in control. I had to trust There was no hope here because clearly the situation was quite unstable. At least it looked like it, and it certainly felt like it, and anything could happen. And in that moment of letting go, it was so liberating, you know, Sarah. It was the strangest feeling. I was like, wow, I am going with the flow here. I'm going to trust that this is all okay. And I mean, it was. The whole trip was, but every single day was a wild ride between trust and not trusting.
you wouldn't get very far if you weren't trusting in that environment. I mean, we forget, don't we, we're sitting here in our cozy lives in England, how tame it all is, how lucky we are, how we have created a country that is stable to a degree. And when it's only when you're exposed to something other than that, where there's big insects that can eat you or poison you or crocodiles that can eat you or whatever it might be, or just infections that can just wipe you out overnight. I mean, you just don't know what it's like to really be alert to life, do you?
No, but you feel alive, though. It's a strange thing. So when you're really under threat, when you've got your body chemistry pumping out adrenaline and cortisol and all manner of stuff, that's when you really get a sense of existence, of being alive, of who you are, and that sense of trust. But to your point, yeah, here in England, we don't get challenged as much in that way. But what we do have, the pair of us, are our dogs.
Yes, we do.
And I have to say that having been a cat person for ages and then getting Barley, it was a completely different experience. And the one thing that he taught me, because with my story, trust has been very hard for me. I mean, I don't come easily to trust. And when he entered our lives, I found it very hard because he was so trusting, and I had to open up my heart to this dog. I mean, he wouldn't accept anything less than my full unconditional love, trust, and attention. I mean, he just wouldn't. And I had to give it. And in that bonding with this animal, who was just like, you know, Barley was looking at me saying, okay, the deal here is really clear. I trust you fully. I love you unconditionally. And I'm going to offer you pure joy 24/7. I mean, that was his offering. Mm. And I couldn't sort of say back to him, okay, well, I'll love you a little bit and I'll trust you, you know, on Mondays and Wednesdays, but not Thursdays. And, you know, he was just none of that.
Yeah. No, and I think
doing this fully, we're full on, you and I, we're full on.
And isn't that the gift of every animal?
Yeah.
The gift of every single animal on the planet is that they are totally in the moment. They're 100% trusting. They trust that, you know, the birds come back. We're just in February here in England and we've got the sound of birdsong again with all the birds coming back. And isn't that wonderful? They trust that there'll be food here. They fly halfway around the world and they trust that the seasons will unfold. They'll be fed. They'll be able to breed. This is what animals offer us that as humans we've forgotten. You know, talk about the original forgetting. Animals don't come in and do that. They just come in and experience in the most beautiful way. And even when a dog is battered and treated appallingly, they usually still turn up and, you know, wag their tail in the morning to the owners because they don't have this sort of expectation that it will be different. Whereas for humans, our expectation is often that we want something in return. We haven't really generally got a clue what unconditional love is.
No, and I think this is where you get expressions like trust your instinct and so on, where we have to go within. I think animals remind us of that, but we need look no further than the scriptures, though, for guidance on this topic. So, you know, the yogic scriptures of India are all full of this theme. And of course, Gandhi himself, who knew a thing or two about suffering and detachment, he said, you know, I'm kind of paraphrasing here, but he said, look, just do your thing. And let God worry about the results.
Yeah.
You know, just let him worry about the outcome. Mm. So just get on with your thing and then, you know, detach from how it might turn out. Mm. And that is such a simple thing. And when you think about that, well, then you don't have to worry about disappointment and pain then, do you? If you just let go and get on with whatever it is you're doing, your work and your relationship and loving people and so on, and then just let somebody else worry about the outcome, like God or the universe or something else. And I tell you what, when I do this, life is a lot easier.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Oh, my.
Yeah. Take our hands off the steering wheel, basically, yeah, isn't it?
Basically. And
let the universe deal with the details. I love the expression that we come in as the cosmic dreamer. Mm-hmm. And we come in that, you know, like you were waiting for the TV program and I was running around the block feeling like a princess. We come in as the cosmic dreamer. And what anyone else thinks of us or how they respond to us, what they say and do is totally irrelevant. Mm. And that's the difficulty, because usually we're expecting something from them.
Yeah. And that is, and that's the thing. And I remember when I was a counselor and working with young people, that was a topic that came up over and over again about how they felt so let down and how their trust was just so broken. And a lot of my work was very simply to try and reconnect them to that inner, the trust that was within, to empower them to say, okay, so things aren't working out and your mum and your dad and whatever, this isn't working out for you and it's painful, whatever. But you are still you, and you are still connected, but in a different way that you hadn't perhaps thought of. And then so a lot of my work was around exactly that, that they reconnected to that cosmic dreamer in themselves, rather than continue with the life of fear, basically. It would be fear.
So maybe we're talking about daring to dream.
Mm.
Maybe that would be the what we can take away from our chat this morning.
I prefer that to hope.
Yes, daring to dream. Am I courageous enough to dream no matter what? No matter what anybody's telling me, what my previous life experience has been, can I just hand it over? And I say, right, I'm the cosmic dreamer. That's all I have to do. The universe will deal with the details. I think I'm going to start trying that, actually. I might, when people ask me what I do, I might just say, actually, I'm a cosmic dreamer. That's my new role in life.
That'll go in your next passport. I love that. Cosmic.
Totally. Yeah. Totally. Yeah. Yeah. I'll be arrested immediately, but hey ho.
Well, you got to trust them that is a situation.
It'd be the right place to be.
You can learn from and grow from.
That's right. A nice warm prison cell in Greece somewhere.
Yeah, exactly. So maybe that's a good place to finish then, Sarah, with this particular chat here. I've really enjoyed this. But yes, to work more with the trust, more trust, I think, and just be sure that is a more solid platform, more solid place than anywhere else, and keep dreaming.
I'm up for that.
Excellent. All right. See you again soon.
Bye.
Bye.